This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are good. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, as I speak, that the words that you want me to say will flow. Father, may it be a transformational word for each of us as we look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Father, we also thank you for the incredible generosity of the people of this place. That not only do we get to keep the doors open, but we are in a place financially where we can really dream about the future. Seek your face and know that you will provide everything. And so I thank you for every gift, every generous heart in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. God has been doing a lot of heart surgery in my life. And I think if we're all honest, who's been feeling that? Who's been feeling the heart surgery of the Father? Yeah. I don't think there's many that haven't. It says in Hebrews that he disciplines those he loves. Just as a father, I don't discipline my children. I don't bring instruction to my children because I want to punish them, but I actually want to see them shine. I want them to be the very best they can be. And our perfect Father does that with us. Because our perfect Father knows the beginning from the end, and he wants to see us be all that he's created us to be, all that he longs for us to be as his children. So I was tossing up with it. We are a new creation in Christ, and that's been declared this morning. But if you want an actual translation or an actual title for my message today, if you're writing notes, my sermon is titled Metamorphosis. So we have a grub on the ground, just doing its thing. Quite fascinating to watch, but it can't do much. All it does is crawl on the ground. Except for if it's a white moth one, then they eat all your foliage and those things. But we're not going to talk about that one so much. It's the process. But they're stuck on the ground. They can't move. They get to a certain stage in their development and they form a cocoon. Inside that cocoon happens the process of metamorphosis. The interesting thing is, in that cocoon, the caterpillar turns to mush. Basically, to nothing. It just becomes a whole heap of cells that then God does a miraculous work. And out comes a butterfly. Pretty incredible when you think about it. This worm-like thing is that can only do that to get around turns into this glorious thing. If you've ever been in the butterfly house at the Melbourne Zoo, it is extraordinary, the colours and the beauty and the... It's stunning. Bright yellows and blues and the diversity of creation. And each one of those beautiful butterflies had to go through a state of mush to get to where it was. I think it's a couple of slides down. Can we start with the butterfly story, please, Nathan? One day, a small opening appeared in a cocoon. A man sat and watched for the butterfly for several hours, as it struggled to force its body through that tiny hole. Then it seems to stop making any progress. It appeared as if it had gotten as far as it could, and it could not go any further. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and opened the cocoon. The butterfly emerged easily, but it had a withered body. It was tiny and had shriveled wings. The man continued to watch because he expected that any moment the wings would open, enlarge and expand to be able to support the butterfly's body and become firm. Neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a withered body and shriveled wings. It was never able to fly. What the man in his kindness and his goodwill did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle required for the butterfly to get through the tiny opening was God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into the wings so that it would be ready for flight once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our life. If God allowed us to get through our life without any obstacles, it would cripple us. We would not be as strong as we could have been, never being able to fly. I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity, and God gave me a brain and brawn to work. I asked for courage, and God gave me obstacles to overcome. I asked for love, and God gave me some troubled people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted, but I received everything I needed. I'm going to have to turn around this way. My eyes are getting worse. Live life without fear. Confront all obstacles and know that you can overcome them. And then it says, send this message on. Can we go back to the first scripture, please? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old has gone, and the new is here. One of my greatest strengths and one of my greatest weaknesses is that I care. I've been a carer since I've been 12 years old. I said recently in a counselling session, I actually don't know how not to. It's just what I do. It's a strength because I hope you all know that I care for you. That I genuinely want to see the best in you. I want to see you grow. I want to see you be all that God could be. And I genuinely love people. So it's a strength. Where it becomes a weakness is that I run in with the scissors. My level of care for people means that I hate it when people struggle. So I do my best to try and help. And I'm telling you, the heart surgery that I have been through recently is actually trying to learn, and I've got a long way to go, when to step in, when not to. What's my place? What's not? And to do my very best to take my fingerprints off what God is doing. Because God doesn't need my help. He's pretty good at doing what he does. And I've realized over that time that I've been a little bit like the bloke in the story. And thankfully, God's grace means that it's not like a permanent thing with the butterfly, because God will allow the circumstances to continue. They'll be different in those things because he wants every person to fly. It's the same for our children, as parents with our children. We'd love to be able to tell them exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and everything will be okay, except for they need to go through the same process. They need to fall over and get themselves back up again. They need to learn how to trust God for themselves and not trust mum and dad. And we need to be the same. We need to be supportive of one another, walking alongside one another, but let the metamorphosis happen through him. Because we are a new creation in Christ. As we've said before, we are seated in heavenly places. But God is doing a metamorphosis process, I believe, in his church and in each of our lives, because it's been declared through multiple words this morning, we may not have much time left. A few people have said to me this week, my hope is that the house we're moving into will be the last move we'll have until we can buy a place. And then a little voice in the background goes, unless Jesus comes back. Be all right, wouldn't it? It'd be all right. But until that day, God is still working, because while there is breath in our lungs, he is wanting to use you and he's wanting to use me for the glory of his kingdom. He needs the beautiful butterflies, each of us, to be all that he's created us to be, so that we can be his colours everywhere we go, his fragrance, the beauty of who he is, his love to those who don't know love. Be channels of his goodness. See, scripture says, it is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. I believe as the church, we've had it wrong. Do people need to repent from their sin? 100% yes. Please don't read this into this one iota that I don't believe in repentance and seeking God for forgiveness. But I've never met a person who doesn't think or doesn't know that they've stuffed up. But I've met plenty of people who think they're too bad, too unlovely, too unworthy to be loved by God. And so they need to experience the grace, the majesty, the goodness of God through each of us. And they'll experience that and come into the kingdom. And in that process, we tell them they need to confess, because the goodness of God is that Jesus has paid the price for every single sin. And he wants to come and live in here, so that we are new in him. The old is gone. Doesn't need to be remembered anymore. What does it say in scripture? Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. To be remembered no more. What an extraordinary thing. That the love of Christ and his love for you and love for me is so extraordinary that it overcomes everything any human has done. I long for people to walk through these doors And I would love your feedback, whether you've been here in this church for 5 minutes or whether you've been here for since its inception. What's it like walking through those doors? Do you feel loved, valued, connected with? Like you matter? Because if we can do that, every person who walks in here will be embraced. I love it when people go, I just feel like I've come home. The kind of community that I just long to see, where we're all that. But I believe part of today's message is the warning. Are we willing to take our hands off and let God do what he's got to do? Because sometimes that's really hard, because God does things really differently. I remember a story when I was in Bible college. And this really challenged me, because I was a Pharisee in Bible college. I thought I knew it all. I thought I knew the Bible. As many of you know, I come from a very strict religious brethren background. And what the lecturer talked to me about, or talked to us as a group, about a lady who had been a prostitute in Melbourne who had come to Christ. And the first thing that God spoke to that lady about was not the fact that she was a prostitute. The first thing, and it's the weirdest thing, every pastor would love it, except for I forget about it, was tithe. Here's this lady who became a Christian as a prostitute, and the first thing God says to her, you've got a tithe. That wouldn't have been my discipleship technique. But as we shared the story, it actually goes, that was the core thing in her heart of why she was doing what she did, because she didn't have security unless she had finances. So she did whatever she could to get finances, and she needed to learn to trust God in her finances. That lady then went on to become a chaplain and led many, many people, women who worked on the street, to the Lord. She gave up that lifestyle and became a chaplain to those girls and got many, many women out of that environment. Because God went to the core and did the core work. So often, we as Christians and me as a pastor and someone who's mentors and train and just loves to work with people, is that I go to my, this is what I think needs to happen in your life in a discipleship process. But God says, no, let me do it my way. Your job is just to love them and support them through the process. Allow them. And I'm in a growing space on that. So I'm glad hopefully you can give me some grace in the middle as I learn how to do that. I don't want to ever feel cold or calloused or any of those sort of things, but I want to do my very best to never get out the scissors. Because I want you to fly. I want you to be all that you can be. And not be a caterpillar with wings that's stuck on the ground. We are all meant to reign with Christ. Completely saturated by him. The one thing it didn't say on those slides about things, you pray for patience and God gives you someone that drives at 60 kilometres between Mount Evelyn and here every time. It must be a thing, because it's happening for Aaron too. And I mean every time. I'm not talking once. I need to get home, or I need to get to church. And 50 kilometres all the way, braking into corners that don't need to be braked. Wait for the children. Yeah, it's going to be even better, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. But how often in life we want to fast track the process? I 100% and passionately believe in a supernatural God that wants to heal people physically, emotionally and physically. Oh, sorry, spiritually. For some people, the physical healing comes first because God's getting their attention, and the emotional and the others. For other people, it's a spiritual encounter that leads to some emotional well, and all of a sudden we're not walking in the pain that we once were. God doesn't have formulas. Can you tell me one time in Scripture where he did the same miracle exactly the same way? He didn't. He's the God of the universe. He could have just told the guy that was blind to be healed, but no, he spat in the dirt and do that. Put mud. Wouldn't be my ideal thing. Imagine being the blind. I suppose he couldn't see. What are you doing? I don't want that. Walking through a crowd, someone so desperate just touched the hem of his garment, and he goes, "Who touched me?" "What do you mean, who touched you? There was people around everywhere." "No, someone intentionally touched me because their faith said, if I touch that, I'm going to get a touch from God." The adulterous woman. I speak on it as one of my favourite passages because I just love the imagery of God's love. Dragged out naked to be shamed and humiliated. Jesus doesn't say anything apart from right at the end. He just writes stuff in the dirt. We can surmise what that was, but the oldest bloke to the youngest one left. I reckon Jesus just read their mail. And he looked at her and went, "Who's condemning you?" And he didn't turn around and go, "Well, you're a dirty, rotten sinner and you need to confess." He just goes, "No, don't do that anymore. It's not good for you. It's not healthy. That sin stuff doesn't look good on you. Don't do it again. Just remember I love you. You're forgiven." I just sense that God is wanting every single one of us to be invited into this place. I don't care who walks through the door or who we encounter during the week. Let's be so full of his love. Let's let him transform each of us. I know every single one of you got a story. Some of you really struggle to trust. Some of you struggle to let go and let God do those things because you've struggled for so long. And I understand, but sometimes that's my own fingerprints on my own cocoon, trying to cut myself out. And God's saying, "Just let me do it. And I'm going to put all those things into your system so that you can fly." I love the picture of it. It's almost that I'm going to use all things for good for those who love me. When we allow him to do the process as we get out the other side. Nothing is wasted. There'll be circumstances that you've walked through that will allow you to connect with someone that I could never connect with. It's just the way the kingdom works. So, Father God, I just pray that you will give each of us the grace and the wisdom to know how to love, how to care, how to be your conduit of love and grace and mercy on the earth without sticking our fingerprints in your work. Whether it be with our children, our family members, people within the community here at Mombole Christian Fellowship, or just people we meet everywhere. We need your wisdom. We need your discernment. We need to be led by your Spirit in all things. And Father, will you complete the metamorphosis process in us? so we can live triumphant as your children, created in your image to do good works according to your purposes. In Jesus' name, we declare. I'm going to finish with a song, When Hope. What's the name of the actual title again, Nath? Can you shout it out to me? I can't remember off the top of my head. It's gone. Pardon? Get Your Hopes Up. That's right. Thanks, Karen. What I feel like this morning is that as we play this song, you know, sometimes we have to forgive those who have actually stepped into places we shouldn't, that they actually shouldn't have gone. And all of us have done it, and all of us have experienced it. But I feel like there's a grace this morning just to let it go. And once again, just go submit to the process that God is taking you through. To be able to gaze in His wonderful face, and it's time to get our hopes up. Not hopes in me, not hopes in the church, not hope in the circumstances of the stock market, whether you got a, whether you, the housing or whatever it is. There's only one hope. There is only one that we can find our hope in that is true hope, that will always bring us to a place of hopeful living, and it's Christ. When we place our hope in other things, it will lead to heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I sense that God this morning is wanting to heal some of those things this morning as well. There might be something that you've just been praying for and you've been hanging on to, and your hope levels are failing. Give it to Him. Say, God, I'm feeling hopeless in this area. I just give it to You. If you want prayer this morning, we'd love to pray for you. I'm loving the fact that the culture is growing, that we've got a culture where people are coming forward for prayer, that you're not doing life in isolation, that together we're going through this process to see God do what He's going to do in each of us.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.